Are you ready to awaken to a new you? Welcome to Healthy You Radio, the radio network that empowers you to heal you. Dr. Keisha Yours is here to share over 30 years of frontline medical experience, bringing you the latest scientific and medical research tempered with the holistic wisdom of Ayurveda and functional medicine, all so you can be the best you can be. And now, here's your host for Body Awareness Tuesday.
Welcome to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Dr. Keisha Yours, your wellness coach and advisor for today. I'm bringing you radio that empowers you to heal yourself. And hello, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Keisha. How are you?
Well, I'm great. It's Body Awareness Tuesday, and
That's right.
Day that we always bring health experts to the microphone to talk about how to have the most optimal wellness and health. And my guest today, I'm excited about because doesn't fit into the mold that a lot of people think about. My guest today is Ariel Ford, who's a love and relationship expert. She spent the last 25 years living and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. She's the author of 10 books, including the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. Her new book is Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, and it offers groundbreaking shifts and perceptions on how to transform your relationship in a deeper, more loving, and more fulfilling lifetime of love. Welcome to the show, Ariel.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Really good. Thank you. And, you know, this show is Healthy You Radio, and I have found I'm in integrative medicine and psychotherapy, and I have found that relationships can be some of the biggest sources of happiness, but also the biggest sources of pain and suffering, and therefore disease, in a person's life. And so I wanted to invite you on the show because I think relationships are everything and have so much to do with your health.
Well, actually, there's some new studies out. One is called the marriage effect, which now shows that the single biggest predicting factor of a long, healthy, happy life and to be able to heal faster from illness and surgery is to be in a happy marriage.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and the thing that seems to be happening with a lot of people these days is they're trying to be healthy. They're exercising, they're meditating, they're drinking green drinks, they're doing yoga, they think of themselves as spiritual people. But then they come home and they have all these toxic judgmental thoughts about their spouse, and it actually wipes out all the good they just did for themselves and suppresses their immune system and doesn't end up contributing to their health, because their relationship's a mess.
You know, this is so profoundly true, and with the science backing it up, it makes it great for everyone to understand and to put their heads around. But I've seen this over the last 30 years in medicine. I know this is true. And I'll have a patient in my office with autoimmune disease. The body's attacking itself, right, with autoimmunity. And I find that with autoimmunity, there seems to always be some sort of trauma in the background or current relationship stuff going on where there's just toxicity all around when it's on a mental emotional level that then translates to the physical level. And so I went back to school to be a psychotherapist many years ago because I started seeing that there was just no way to separate this. The way we try to do Western medicine where everything's in little boxes, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and what's really sad is people don't seem to know this or even know what to do about it. So they end up staying in unhappy, bad, or abusive relationships, or I still think 90% of most relationships can be turned around if you put a little attention on them and get some good communication skills going. So it doesn't have to be this way. But, you know, everybody's looking for the quick fix. Oh, if I just do this green drink every morning and I take 20 minutes for mindfulness and I do a few downward dogs, you know,
that's the quick fix. Those things, people are looking at me and crossing their eyes because they want a pill.
No, I know. And, you know, the thing that I tell a lot of these people, especially the ones that are very proud of themselves for meditating, I tell them, I said, what you're really doing is self-medicating. You know, you're using the meditation to not feel the pain that you're in. You know, not that meditation's bad. I think it's a great add-on to everything. But, you know, surrounding yourself and filling yourself up with love for yourself, love for your friends and family, and especially love for your spouse is probably the healthiest thing anybody can do.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. I can't wait to get going here and start talking about some tips and tools, because I think that this is such an important part of life, and not just health, but life happiness and that quotient of contentment that you feel at the end of your day when you go to sleep. So let's talk about what are some things that people can do to start turning, I call this putting the mirror in front of them, to really start turning relationships around.
Well, I think first, let's really get on the same page about what love is.
All right.
Because so many people think love is just a feeling. Oh, Keisha, I know that I love you because I feel it. And the truth is, love is a feeling, but it's so much more than that. It's a behavior. It's a commitment. You know, it's a dedication. It's an action. So being loving is more important than feeling love. And what happens when people are in a relationship after the first couple of years, you know, the honeymoon phase is over, all those feel-good hormones in your brain, the oxytocin and the adrenaline and the dopamine, you know, they subside. And so people aren't sure, well, do I still love her? Do I still love him? And the truth is, yes, you do, but there's a little bit of work required. And so many of us, especially in the West, grew up with this happily ever after myth.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it's a big fat lie. And what's possible is happily even after. But that requires getting some skills together and being patient. And one of the big secrets about relationships is that nobody tells you before you get married that there are going to be things you're never, ever going to agree on, ever. And that is totally normal. In fact, Dr. John Gottman at the University of Washington, who runs the Marriage Lab, his research has proven that every single couple, not just some, but every single couple, has a minimum of 9 irreconcilable differences.
I think you said 69% of problems between couples cannot be resolved. That's a high number.
Well, you know, I haven't heard that figure, but what I do know is that they all don't have to be resolved.
Right.
You know, if you can learn to be interdependent with your partner, to coexist in a container, an atmosphere of love and respect, and then be willing to come up with creative solutions, you can have a nice, long, happy relationship. But you can't do it hoping, wishing, dreaming, looking for the magic wand or the pill that's going to fix it for you.
And that's important for people to hear, because I think everyone thinks you can communicate out of every problem.
Yeah, it's like that old saying, never go to bed angry.
Right.
I think that's one of the worst things I've ever heard. The last thing you want to do is have an argument late at night when everybody's worn out and tired and not thinking straight. Much better to go to bed angry and then wake up in the morning and take some time to get yourself to neutral and then set up a time to have a nice, calm conversation. And in fact, in my newest book, Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, I actually give people scripts on how to do this.
That's great. So bookmarking something so you don't actually have to try and beat it to death before you go to sleep.
Well, it usually doesn't work. Everything just escalates and nobody gets a good night's sleep anyway.
Mm-hmm. So let's also get on the same page about what a soulmate is.
Well, I believe that a soulmate is first and foremost somebody that you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love, and when you look into their eyes, you have this feeling of being home. And I also believe it's somebody with whom you have physical and emotional safety. So if you're in a relationship where there's really bad behavior, abuse, or addiction, that's not something you can handle on your own. That's when you really need somebody like you, Keisha. You need a professional, a third, objective third party to help you really work through it. Because to try and figure out something that severe on your own isn't really going to get you where you want to go.
Okay. And I think that there's a, just like the happily ever after princess stories that we watched in the United States as children, I think those are the worst things ever. I think there's also a myth about soulmates that, you know, you have your one mate that
right.
is the person.
Right, the one and only, which is also a big fat lie. The truth is we all have hundreds, if not thousands, potential soulmates in every lifetime. So this whole idea that there's only one, and if you never found them, you're screwed, or if you found them and they left, you're screwed, none of that's true. You know, there's lots of potential soulmates. And what's also not talked about much is you could meet somebody and really feel like they're your soulmate, like really feel this strong heart connection. You're just crazy about them. You feel like you've known them forever. And that doesn't mean that they're the ideal life partner for you, because every great relationship is made up of five key things. So you need chemistry, yes, but that's almost the least important part of it. You need connection, compatibility, communication, and a shared vision for the future. So if you're somebody who loves cats and dogs and kids and likes to have an active social life, the last thing you want to do is get together with somebody who's an agoraphobic, antisocial, and hates animals, right?
Right.
You're never going to be happy there. And the whole point of all this is to, A, make yourself happy, and then find your soulmate and be even happier. But that takes understanding that you want to share the same kind of life together. You know, if you're totally committed to only living on the beach and you've met somebody who doesn't know how to swim, hates the water, and wants to ski 200 days a year and only wants to live at 8,000 feet, somebody's not going to be happy.
Now, I get all of that, but there's something that you said a little bit ago where I also want to talk a little bit about, and that is, the whole point of this is to be make yourself happy and to be happy. To me, I just want to delve into that a little bit more. You're not going to be happy every second in any relationship.
No. In fact, there are going to be weeks or days or moments when you actually hate your soulmate.
Right. And that's normal. And I just want people
normal.
To hear that.
Yeah, no, that's totally normal. You know, if it was going to be super easy all the time, we'd get bored. And that's just the truth about it. And, you know, according to Harville Hendrix, who Oprah calls the marriage whisperer, the whole point of taking sacred vows and getting married is so that all your childhood wounds from your early caregivers can get kicked up and healed. And
that's
right. You can become more whole and more mature and more loving. And that only happens in the container of a relationship. You can't do that on your own. In fact, Harville says you can't even do that in a committed relationship. That you could be totally in love with somebody and living with them for years, but until you sign that contract and take those vows, the real work of marriage doesn't begin.
You know, it's interesting because I tell this story every once in a while. My husband, early into our marriage, one day we'd been in a conflict, and he said, "I'm just not happy." And I said, "Well, if you got married with the objective of being happy, you probably have the wrong goal." I said, "I thought that the two of us had a contract together getting married so that we would both grow." And I said, "When you've got two rocks in the rock tumbler bouncing around in there getting polished, it's not a painless process." You know, I said, "We're in the process of getting polished, and that means that you're not going to be happy all the time, and you probably ought to restructure your expectations, or this isn't going to work." You know, and he sat and he thought about that for a while, and he came back later and he said, "You're right, we did make that agreement. We are here to grow, and it isn't going to be painless, and that's true. I'm not going to be happy all the time," you know. And it was this great conversation that emerged from that moment of when he said to me, "I'm just not happy," you know.
Well, isn't it great that he was able to tell the truth and you were able to hear it, you know, because so often people would be so offended by that and so hurt, they would just curl up in a little ball and want to die.
Oh, yeah, no. So that I think it is important to understand that the mirror has just been put in front of you. You know, Rumi said, if you're irritated by every rub, how will your mirror ever be polished? And, you know, it's it's great when you have those moments. David, you know, Dr. Snarch says if you, when you get into that emotional gridlock place, then that's the place you want to be. When you're unhappy, you hate each other, like now the true growing can start, you know? And I think that's so true.
Yeah, and it's not always fun, but once you get past it, it's, you know, it's incredible.
Right, right. The payoff is great.
Right, exactly.
Right. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Ariel Ford some tips and tools for making this happen. You're listening to Healthy You Radio. This is Dr. Keisha Yours, and you're joining me today for a conversation with Ariel Ford, the author of Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate. We'll be back in a moment.
Do you suffer from allergies, food sensitivities, hormone imbalance, depression, fatigue, weight gain, burnout, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disorders, skin problems, anxiety, or have stomach or gut issues? There is a solution. Dr. Keisha Ewers has over 30 years in medicine and brings the world of naturopathic medicine, Ayurveda, and her Western medical education together to form an integrative approach to solving the root cause of illness. Dr. Keisha spends more time with her patients than most doctors and really listens to their stories in order to help cure a problem rather than just treating symptoms. Give yourself the gift of good health and call Dr. Keisha today. Take control of your life and call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 for an appointment. For more information about Dr. Keisha and Fern Life Center, go to fernlifecenter.com. Most insurance plans accepted.
Are you fighting with stubborn weight that won't come off? As you've probably learned by now, fad diets don't work in the long run. At Fern Life Center, their highly experienced and educated medical providers can develop a program that'll help you lose those pounds of pain. They start with genetic hormone, adrenal, and allergy testing first. After you've gone over the results, you'll then choose the option that best suits your needs and begin working with their nutritionists and or ideal protein weight loss coaches. Your plan will be augmented with treatments such as massage, colon hydrotherapy, counseling and hypnotherapy, detoxification with their far infrared sauna, and exercise on the 4-minute range of motion machine will tone and detoxify you as you lose your weight. They'll track your body fat composition, lab results, weights, and measurements so you can see your success as those pounds melt off. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Keisha and take charge of your health today.
It has been said from ancient to modern times that the seat of health begins in the colon. Fern Life Center's colon hydrotherapy is a safe, clean, odor-free method of cleaning up your digestion without the use of drugs or chemicals. Toxicity of the colon can cause severe disease, ranging from simple allergies to major medical problems, including cancer, altered immunity, and even mental health issues that range from brain fog to bipolar disorder. Go to www.fernlifecenter.com today to schedule your colon hydrotherapy appointment and start your journey to clean health today.
Call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376 to schedule your next appointment and to learn more about their colon hydrotherapy packages.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Call now.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio. This is Dr. Keisha Yours. You're joining me for a radio that empowers you to heal yourself. This is Body Awareness Tuesday, and my guest today is Ariel Ford, who is the author, among other things, of Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, A Practical Guide to Happily Ever After. Welcome back to the show, Ariel.
Thank you.
So we talked in the first part of the show about what the term soulmate means, about what love is, and the idea of goals for having a marriage contract together. So you have a chapter in your book called Understanding Men, the Martian, the Hero, and the Cave Dweller. Talk a little bit about how to understand men a little bit better.
Well, the first thing that's really sort of surprising is how different they are from us. You know, their brains are actually wired differently. And what I've discovered from all the people I've studied with is that really, guys want to win. That's what motivates them. That's what gets them out of bed in the morning. They want to win, and they want to win with you. And the only way they can win with you is if you're happy. So when you're unhappy, they feel like they're losing, even if your unhappiness has nothing to do with them. So it's really up to us to constantly let them know when we are happy and what we're happy about, so they'll do more of that. The other thing that my friend Matt Boggs taught me that I found so shocking was he asked me one day, he said, "Do you know what men want more than sex?" And I said, "I don't know. I have no idea." He said, "Respect." And so I started checking that out with all the straight men that I knew, and I found out that it was true. They really do want to be respected. So if you can let them know how to make you happy, and you can ask them in ways that don't sound like you're yelling, screaming, begging, complaining, nudging, and be really sweet about it, you can get almost anything you want from them.
That's actually a really interesting perspective about it, the idea of respect. I'm just thinking about my own marriage, and I can see that so clearly, for sure. I often will tell women, there's a study that I read years ago when I was doing my doctoral work, and I was looking at the impact of held on to hurt on female sexual desire. And one of the studies that I came across is that after 1 year of a committed relationship, women don't feel, 69% of women don't feel spontaneous sexual desire anymore. And I thought, well, that's fascinating. That's a high number. It was anywhere from 50 to 69%, and in Asian culture, 69% was what tipped it over. Not feeling sexual desire spontaneously, that they can feel arousal first and then desire can follow. I thought, wow, this is something that American women really need to know, because so many women feel like they're broken, right? And so I thought about how we are always, in our culture, I'm not in the mood for sex. I'm not in the mood, right? That's kind of a common theme.
Right.
And how men are looking for that processing of the physical intimacy through sex. And women are looking through the processing of emotional intimacy through conversation. And that if the man has a high desire for sex and the woman has a high desire for this emotional processing and their needs aren't getting met, then this polarization happens. And then language can occur and conversation in there that feels disrespectful, critical, you know, to men. And as you say that, I say, yeah, that's exactly what happens when couples start to pull apart like that. So I find that really interesting, that respect being one of the higher key benchmarks above sex, I can see where that would be true.
You know, and that also relates to what we were talking about earlier about what love is and isn't. You know, because there will be plenty of times when you don't feel loving, when having a loving action is the thing to do if you're really committed to the relationship working. You know, like there's plenty of times my husband's talking on and on about something, and I'm not that interested in what he has to say, you know, but I'm his audience. He really likes me to listen to him. That's like a core thing for him. And Gottman's work, again, was all about what he calls bidding. The couples with the happiest marriages are the ones that actually take the time to stop what they're doing, physically turn their bodies towards their mates, and then listen intently to what they have to say. So you may not have this desire for sex in the moment, but there's plenty of reason to have sex even when you don't want to. I had this whole conversation with Alison Armstrong about this one day where she was talking about, you know, how you may not be into it at the first 40 seconds, you know, but if you hang in there, pretty soon you will be, and it's worth doing, and you'll be glad that you did. So it's kind of the mindset of, what am I most committed to? Am I really committed to a long, healthy, happy marriage? And does that mean that sometimes I'm going to get a little bit outside my comfort zone and do something I wasn't planning on doing, I didn't think about doing, I didn't really want to do it, but it's for, you know, the health and growth of the relationship. Not to mention all the studies that now show how good sex is for your overall well-being and health.
Exactly. And, you know, relationship satisfaction is one of the best indicators of happiness. And so relationship satisfaction is going to be increased if you're having a good sex life. You know, in Gottman's work, he says that he can predict if marriages are going to last longer than 6 years if those bids for attention are met less than, you know, 65% of the time, and it's couples that 89 to 90% of the time turn toward their partner when there's a bid for affection that actually have the long-lasting, happy relationships. That's a pretty big number. You don't get to turn away from your partner very often.
You know, the other thing Gottman does is he can observe any couple for 15 minutes and tell within 96% accuracy if the marriage is going to last.
Right.
You know, so if you're arguing with your spouse and you're rolling your eyes, he calls that a sign of contempt, a sure sign things are not headed in the right direction.
Right.
You know, or if you're stonewalling, or what are all the things he calls the four signs of the apocalypse.
Right,
you know,
the four horsemen.
There are these signs, but nobody ever teaches them to us. And if we grew up in a typical kind of home where couples were fighting badly and, you know, beating each other up, then that's what you think is normal, and that's what you learned, and that's probably what you're doing. And if things aren't working, it's time to learn some new skills.
And that's the key, I think, is that you can learn new skills. So it doesn't matter what kind of dysfunctional upbringing that you have. You can learn this stuff. You can learn these new skills. And I think that generationally, this next generation is being exposed to more of this. And I think generationally, we're getting into an understanding that marriage is a lot of work. We're moving out of the Cinderella thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and the more you get good at these skills, the less work it is.
Right.
Right? You know, it's like, when you learn that, just because, you know, suddenly something was said and you're angry or hurt, doesn't mean you necessarily have to respond in that moment. You know, I'll give you an example of this. You know, let's say Judy and John go to a party. They go to a cocktail party at their friend's house. And they're talking to another couple. And Judy's husband says something that just totally pisses her off. She's now embarrassed and humiliated. But rather than rip them a new one in the middle of the party, she keeps her mouth shut. On the drive home, she's seething, but it's late at night. She doesn't want to pick a fight at midnight. The next morning, she wakes up. She's still angry, and she decides to take herself for a walk. And she, you know, gets really clear about what happened and what it did. And when she gets home, she sees her husband. She says, "I'm having a problem, and I need your help with it. Do you have 10 minutes sometime today to talk to me about it?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure. Why don't we, you know, have lunch at noon?" So they go to lunch, and she says to him, "I know that you love me. I know that you would never, on purpose, hurt or humiliate or embarrass me. I know that. But last night, when we were with A and B, you said X, Y, Z. I felt, you know, A, B, C, D, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And now he has this great opportunity to apologize. She hasn't made him wrong. She hasn't killed him off. She hasn't lost her temper. And they can resolve it really quickly as opposed to her being reactive. You know, and once you learn how to do that, that's a really good way to solve a lot of problems.
You know, that's actually, when you say something like, I have a problem, and then you start with, I know that you would never intentionally hurt me, you've just taken the gasoline out of a potentially combustible moment, whether if you'd started out, you are such an ass, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I really, really want to ruin Keisha's day. What could I do or say to her today that's really going to freak her out and upset her? That never happens. Yet we live and react as if that's how people are showing up.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So you have some steps in here for turning your mate into your soulmate. And one of them is creating, the first one that you say is creating your personal love intention statement. I love this idea. It's what Harville Hendricks actually talks about, too, in the very first module of Getting the Love You Want, is really setting this up together so you're on the same page. Will you talk a little bit about that?
You know, I must have learned that from Harville. And I'm going to try and find my statement here in the book because I haven't seen it in a while. I wrote this a couple years ago. But yeah, I mean, if you're, like Brian and I decided right before we got married that we were always going to put our relationship first. It was never going to be what does Arielle want or what does Brian want. It's going to be what's best for the relationship. So that always made making decisions and choices much easier. You know, because it wasn't like I had to, you know, negotiate and convince him. We would just look and see, you know, how does this see the relationship? And for some reason, I'm not finding my love intention statement. But basically, it's
242 is the page in the
book.
Oh,
thank you. I'm glad you're on top of this. I would have never found it. Here it is. Yeah, so actually Brian and I have different ones. So his love intention statement is, everyone I come in contact with will have the experience of being loved, which is certainly true for him. And mine is, I'm a student of love and a love philanthropist. You know, and then together, Brian came up with this thing that he calls soulmate math. So in regular arithmetic, 1 + 1 = 2. But in soulmate math, 1 + 1 = 11, and your love blesses the world.
That's lovely.
Do you have a love intention statement?
We have, like, what Hendricks does is to have a vision statement for your marriage. And so we have that, and we redo it every year and print it out and put it on the wall in our bedroom.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's kind of long. But each part, like those intentions, the intention statement that you have there, would be each intention that each partner brings to it, and then you synthesize those together to make a vision statement where you're marrying them for your relationship.
Oh, so I love that.
It's a really nice exercise to do, and we're always evolving as human beings, and then we're evolving inside of our relationships, and our relationship is always evolving, and so I always tell people, do this every year. You know, we do it around our anniversary for our wedding. And it just kind of, where are we with our relationship? Where do we want to be going? You know, part of our vision is that we can offer the world more as a couple than we can as an individual, kind of like a forest is stronger than a single tree.
Right.
So,
yeah, 1 + 1 = 11.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So I love that, and I also really love the step that you have in here where you're asking for what you need, because I think women, as a gender, this is definitely a gender stereotype, and I don't want to say that every woman has had this experience, but I think by and large, girls, when they're younger, are really reinforced for helping, for caregiving, for being a good little girl, and not for going out and getting what they want. And so I think that's a learned skill for a lot of women is to be able to not expect their partner to read their minds. And that's such a deadly trap.
Yeah, and the other part of it is, you know, the tone of voice that you use when you're asking. You know, if you're mean or grumpy or demanding, you're going to get tuned out. But if you can find a really sweet way to ask for what it is that you need and also explain how your life's going to be better by getting it, then that's another opportunity for him to win. You know, like one of my favorite examples is, you know, I know so many women complain that they constantly have to harass their husband to take the garbage out. You know, and they're, oh, we've been married 20 years, and still every Sunday night I have to remind him a million times to take the trash out for Monday pickup. And finally I said to one woman, well, next time he does come in the back door from taking the trash out, just try this. Just walk over to him, give him a big hug, and then whisper in his ear and say, thank you so much for taking out that stinky, smelly trash. Every time you take the trash out, I get to feel like a queen who's loved and adored by her king. I'm so amazed and grateful. Thank you. And if you do that just once, chances are he's not going to forget again.
It's true. I always tell people it's like training a puppy. You want to give them treats.
I know. Somebody said, it sounds like training dogs and dolphins. I said, yes, there are a lot of similarities.
It's true.
It's about the reward thing. But, you know, in the end, everybody wins, so does it matter?
Right.
You know, if you've been screaming for 2 decades, take the trash out and it isn't working, you know, try something that does work.
Right. And it is true. Puppies don't learn as well when you smack them with rolled-up newspapers, and they do really well when you shower them with love. Children also do much better when you reinforce their positive behaviors rather than harp on their negative ones. And it's the same with spouses. We're training each other. You're also being trained by your spouse, by the way. So, it's the way it works, and I think you can get a lot further if you're willing to do that positive reinforcement. Give them a treat.
Yeah, and the flip side of that, and again, I'm going to go back to Harville Hendricks on this. He says there is no such thing as constructive criticism, that all criticism is a form of violence.
I think that's really powerful. I've heard him say that, too.
Yeah, and he actually makes the couples in his workshop sign a vow of non-criticism. Take a vow not to criticize each other, because you're supposed to be on the same team. Love and support each other. You know, so if you have to give them feedback, you want to do it from a really positive, gentle, empowering, inspiring perspective, not like, oh, you're so stupid, that's not how you do this.
It's interesting, though, you're so stupid, that's not how you do it, is so overtly critical, but there are certain personalities that hear feedback as criticism, no matter how well it's couched. So I think there's also getting on the same page about what criticism is with your partner.
Yeah, well, my husband's really perfected delivering feedback to me, you know. It's always coming from a place of, you know, concern and worry for my well-being, you know, as opposed to you're working too much, you're doing too much, you're wearing yourself out. He'll actually sit down and say, you know what, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but if you keep going at this pace, I'm afraid you're going to die early. You know, would you be willing to take off some more time? Which is a lot more effective with me than, you know what, you're doing too much.
Right.
It sounds like a judgment.
Right.
Even if he's right, it sounds like a judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's very true. I think any time you come from a place of love, it's going to come through that way. All right, we have to take a quick break. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers. You're listening to a conversation with Ariel Ford, who is the author of Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. This is Healthy You Radio. We'll be back in just one moment.
Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what others have to say about Fern Life Center's amazing weight loss program. Give yourself the gift of good health this season.
Since going on the Fern Life Center Ideal Protein Diet Program, I've been able to go off my cholesterol medication. My total cholesterol is 58 points lower than it was 3 months ago. And that is after going off Lipitor. My good cholesterol has improved, and my bad cholesterol is down, and my triglycerides are now normal. I've lost 55 pounds, 26 inches in 5 months. I feel like I have my life back and am free from my food addictions.
Go to FernLifeCenter.com to schedule your first appointment today. That's FernLifeCenter.com.
Have you wanted to learn meditation from a true master but didn't know where to turn or didn't have time to travel to the Himalayas? Now, internationally renowned meditation master Ajayan Boris comes to you. Learn at your own pace and even in the comfort of your own home and receive ongoing support for your practice. The best part? It costs you less than 30 cents a day and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to ajayan.com. And join Ajayan Boris's Meditation Private membership site. You'll gain access to detailed video courses in meditation, weekly live guided meditations for abundance, healing, developing your creativity, and so much more. You'll also have access to a forum to ask Ajayan any meditation-related question. For more information, go to ajayan.com. That's ajayan.com. Ajayan.com.
If you're suffering with sinus congestion, fatigue, itchy eyes, eczema, acne, or any of the host of symptoms of allergies like hay fever, food allergies, even allergies to animals, you need NAET. NAET is a protocol that actually eliminates your allergies forever. Throw away the antihistamines, stop yearly allergy shots, and enjoy having your family pet in the house. To begin your journey to an allergy-free life, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 or visit fernlifecenter.com. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance plans. Call now and start to enjoy the outdoors. Mention this ad and receive your program guidebook free. This is a $20 value. Call or visit Fern Life Center and make your appointment today. 425-391-3376. Are you ready to find balance in your life? Sometimes life can be challenging on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Visit Fern Life Center and let Keisha Ewers, ARNP, an integrative medical specialist, design a detoxification program that fits your unique needs, body type, and lifestyle. One size does not fit all, and detoxing can potentially be harmful if not done properly. Enter Fern Life Center's detoxification and Panchakarma program and come out with a new lease on life, feeling more energetic, peaceful, and lighter. Call Fern Life Center today and find out what transformation feels like. Call 425-391-3376 and make an appointment with Keisha today. Mention this ad and get a free steam in their unique detoxifying herbalized cedar steamer with any regular massage. Lighten up your body, mind, and spirit. You're worth it. Go to FernLifeCenter.com and sign up for Keisha's free monthly newsletter, and you can keep up with the latest health tips, seasonal recipes, words of wisdom, and get your questions answered in her advice column.
Make it a great day. Keep your dial on Alternative Talk 1150.
It's me you need to show. How deep is your love?
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio. This is Dr. Keisha Ewers. You're joining me today for a conversation with Ariel Ford, who is the author of Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, A Practical Guide to Happily Ever After. Welcome back to the show, Ariel.
Thank you.
So we are going through these 16 steps you have at the end of your book about how to turn your mate into a soulmate. And one of the ones that I teach to couples all the time that I really appreciate and love is to learn to speak the same love language. And I think people need to be aware of that. We're not all understanding when our partner is showering us with love. If we don't speak the same language, we may not even know that they're loving us. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I just absolutely love that. And, you know, I'm a person that I like words of affection and high touch. You know, other people want acts of service, or they want gifts. That's how they know you're loving them. You buy them an elaborate gift. You know, you could buy me an elaborate gift, and that would be okay. That would be nice, but I wouldn't necessarily feel loved. But if you come and, you know, put your arm around me and whisper in my ear, then I feel love. So when a couple can take the quiz, and you can find it online, it's really easy. It's the 5 love languages quiz. And
this
understand
is Gary Chapman's
yeah,
work.
Yeah, Gary Chapman. Have you ever interviewed Gary Chapman?
I have.
Oh, you're so lucky. I've been trying for years, and they just never said yes to me yet. But I so admire his work. And once you can get on the same page with that, it changes everything, because instead of you giving somebody you think is a loving, kind gesture, you can give them something that they will receive as a loving, kind gesture.
What's your husband's love language?
We have the exact same one.
Well, that makes it simple.
Yeah, it's really easy. In fact, I pretty much don't even buy him gifts anymore, because he likes to pick out his own, which I find maddening. You know? So I just want now ask him what it is that he wants. I've given up trying to surprise him. His whole family's like that. You know, they'll send you a list before Christmas with like links to websites of exactly what they want.
Well, I am the gift and the acts of service girl, and you don't have to be elaborate. If my husband goes for a walk on the beach and brings me home a rock, I love that. In fact, I would prefer that he wrote out a card or did a rock, you know, because I love rocks, or a shell or something like that. It doesn't have to be purchased. It's a gift, though. It means that you were thinking about me while you were gone. So gifts and surprises doesn't necessarily mean elaborate gifts. But those are my two. And then my husband is physical touch and words of appreciation. And so we're opposite. So I think that if I tell you that I love you 3 or 4 times a day, that ought to do it. And for words of appreciation people, it's usually a lot more than that. You know, I call it the black hole of appreciation. So I had to actually practice. I wrote.
Well, here's something you can do. Why don't you come up with a practice of writing him a weekly love letter and put it in a beautiful card?
Yeah, he would love that.
Yeah, I know I would love that. Brian loves that because we're both words of appreciation people.
Yeah, he writes me a lot of cards. You're always, this is our listeners, if you you look at the thing that you do to love someone, and that's your love language because you're role modeling it. So my husband's is words of appreciation. He writes me cards all the time. So that's what reciprocating I have to. I look at what he does, and then I do that back for him, because then I know that's what he's going to respond to and to appreciate.
And one of the other things that is recommended by every love expert I've ever talked to is to give your spouse 5 appreciations every day. You know, really take the time to notice and acknowledge them for all the things they're doing right. You know, we're so quick to be heat-seeking missiles for everything that people are doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could just take the time to notice and appreciate what they're doing right, it goes a long way to generating more love.
That's true. I've heard anywhere from 5 to 15. When couples are in trouble, I give them the homework of 15 a day.
Ooh, that would take some attention.
Yes, which is the idea. So you also talk about wearing rose-colored glasses. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, there was a woman at the University of Buffalo who did a study on couples who consciously choose to wear rose-colored glasses. And what she found was that these couples had longer, happier, more satisfying marriages. And the reason is that they're always looking for what's right instead of looking for what's wrong, which makes perfect sense. It's a lot of what we were just talking about. So I recommend that you buy some rose-colored glasses. I got a pair for $12 on Amazon that I really like. And when things aren't so good, put on the rose-colored glasses and try to figure out what's right about this situation. What's working here? What can I appreciate and have gratitude for?
Great advice. I have a patient who has a set of comedy glasses, you know, with the nose on the bottom, the black rimmed with the nose and the mustache. And she keeps those around for bringing humor into the family life. And she says if things are starting to get too dramatic, that she'll put those on, and it reminds her to put in a little comedy into the whole relationship and family life. I think that's a great idea.
The other thing that works really well is having code names. You know, if there's certain topics that end up being a trigger for both of you, you know, and you know that just going down that road is just going to stir up the same old argument that has no real solution to it, come up with a code name for it. So when one of you notices you're headed there, you can stop. Brian and I came up with a new one recently. And even in the middle of the conversation, I thought, God, this just feels so old and tired. I can't believe we're doing it. And it got kicked off by some stupid thing we were watching on TV. And when it was pretty much all over, I just said to him, I said, from now on, whenever this is going to start up, I'm just going to look at you and say Munich. And you're going to know we're not going to Munich again. You know? And it has nothing to do with the actual city of Munich, but that's what we were watching on TV when it started. So it's really helpful because at least you can have a choice. Do I want to get into a, you know, World War III, or do I just want to move past it?
Oh, that's a really good idea. And here's one my husband and I invented. I've never heard anybody else on the planet talk about it, and I'm writing about it in my book, my current one right now. It works so well. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's called accent therapy. So what we do to bring humor in is if we're starting to get testy, then we'll start having the conversation in a different accent. He does Indian and I do British.
Oh, that's funny. I actually have a story similar to that in my Wabi Sabi Love book about a guy who had a real jealousy issue and was driving his wife crazy. And they were out at a party one night and she was talking to another guy and he felt himself getting really, really jealous. So he walked over to her and he put his arm around her waist and pulled her in really tight. And in a heavy Italian accent, he said to her, "You are my woman, and you can't be talking to this other guy. We're leaving now. I have to go home and rip your clothes off." And she was laughing hysterically, and the guy she was talking to was laughing hysterically. And they named this sub-personality Luigi. So whenever he would feel jealous or she thought he was getting jealous, one of them would say, "It's time for Luigi to show up."
That's great. So with this, what I've realized is it ropes in a different, it entrains a different part of your brain, because in order to think about the accent, you have to come into a different aspect of your brain, and it pulls you out of that fight or flight limbic system place that you can get into when you're so defended and trying to fight for your ego.
Well, Keisha, I'm going to be doing mine with a southern accent.
Okay.
I grew up in the South, so that's an easy one for me.
I love it. All right, we are out of time. I would like for you to give one last pearl of wisdom for our listeners. What would you like everyone to know right now?
You know, if you really want to kickstart the passion in your relationship, go do something with your mate that you both perceive as life-threatening. So that could be jumping out of an airplane, bungee jumping, whitewater river rafting, a roller coaster, a scary movie, a zip line. But it has to be something that you both fear. And when you do it together, when you have this shared experience, shared adrenaline rush of thinking you might die, it actually re-releases all the dopamine and other fun chemicals in your brain so you can go have some passion.
That's great. We just got home from Bali and we did a whole zip line thing, and it was a little bit of that. It was not just zip line, but it was a whole boot camp type of course that you had to do, and it did. It's
very bonding.
It is. It's very bonding. That's great. It's a great idea. All right. Thank you, Ariel. And I want you to give your website for our listeners so they can find you and find your
book
and what you're up to.
My website is soulmatesecret.com. And if you want the first three chapters of Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate for free, just go to soulmatesecret.com and you can download them.
Perfect. And your Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate is a lovely little book. So I highly recommend this to everybody that's listening. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. It was fun talking to you.
Remember, everybody, to live, love, laugh, learn, and keep listening to the Healthy You Radio Network, and have a fantastic day.
Do you ever wonder why some people can eat anything and never gain weight? And others just think about food and gain weight? Why do some people get depressed, have memory problems, or develop arthritis and others don't? Are you having problems sleeping or having digestive issues? Are your hormones imbalanced? Ayurveda has the answers. Ayurveda is an ancient system of medicine from India that has been made popular by Deepak Chopra. Explains why we're all different and tells you how to take care of your unique body type. Get balanced in all areas of your life. For more information, log on to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. Take charge of your health today and call 425-391-3376. Call now to set up a phone consultation and start your journey to perfect balance today.